All right, I guess we're live. It says there, webinar is now streaming on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Break. Well, actually, this is a Jets talk show, sort of, my podcast, which is happening right now on The Break, which is also featured by Cutprint Podcast. Confused? So am I. But I'm very excited tonight because this is the first time I'm doing something like this, a live chat. Because in my talk show of sorts, it's streaming on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all those places. And they're all audio. Pero ngayon, live ako. Because, well, it's a very special episode with a very special guest. And also, we are doing this to sort of help also our daily wage workers na medyo apektado ngayon itong COVID-19 situation natin. Now, these are the people from challenged families and those who have modest jobs, no, na kailangan ng tulong natin. So as we go along with this chat with my good friend and special guest, we'll be pinning the donation links sa comment section. So anytime you guys want to donate, please do so. No amount is too big or too small. Kahit barel lang po yan, kung makaka-donate kayo sa donation link na pinapakita namin sa comment thread, malaking tulong po yan sa mga underprivileged workers natin, yung mga trabahante natin in the service industry, yung mga nangangailangan talaga ng tulong sa panahon na to. And also, I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to our frontliners. Kung sino man mga frontliners ngayon na nakikinig dito at sa ibang parte ng mundo, please know that our hearts go to you guys on behalf of Cutprint Podcast. Para sa amin, mga bayani kayo, just please stay safe always because we know that you also have families to go home to. Just stay safe and thank you for saving lives. All right. I have a few more spiels to share with you guys. But before that, I'd like to already introduce my guest for tonight. Kasi medyo excited na akong kausapin siya because I haven't seen this guy for a long time. And I know he's been very busy. I believe his last stint before nagkaroon ng quarantine was a rather long-running role in Ang Probinsyano. And this guy is no beginner. By no means is he a beginner in the field of acting. This guy is an institution. He's an icon. He's multi-awarded and he's very well-respected sa industriya ng pelikula and even sa entablado, sa stage. Because not only is he very busy as an actor on TV and film, busy rin po siya. Paminsan, pag may time to do a musical here and there or a straight play where you can watch him live. Ladies and gentlemen, hindi ko na po patatagalin dahil excited na rin ako and I'm sure you guys are too. Please welcome my good friend, the one, the only, Michael De Mesa. Sorry, I tried to fluff it up the best I could.
Grabe, grabe naman, Jet. Yung introduction mo, sobrang ano. Wow.
Kumusta?
Eto, bukong Santa Claus.
Earlier, you know, we were doing the test. I go, uy, bagong look ni Michael ngayon, ah.
That's the quarantine look, the lockdown look.
Louis V. Adams look, 80s reference yun. Nakikinig dyan, alam nila kung sino si Grizzly Adams. Mike!
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for doing this, my friend. Thank you for...
My pleasure. Anything for you, Jet. Anything for you.
Nakikita ko lang sa Facebook mo that you lately have been busy working out.
Yes, trying to keep fit. Alam mo na, mahirap na. When you're 35, you have
right.
to... think of other things. So, physicality, yeah, correct.
is it something that you just wanted to do or is it a health concern or?
Well, yeah, many factors involved. Actually, it's my wife, Julie, who's been pushing me to work out for so many years.
Hi, Julie.
Yeah, but the kicker was my grandson when he was he's 6 years old now, but when he was 4 years old, one day he comes up to me and asks me, "Pops, why do you have the flabbiest arms?" And then I'm like, I have the flabbiest arms. So that's what made me decide finally, okay, I'm going to work out and I'm going to show you who has the flabbiest arms. So it's been almost
a challenge. Yeah.
So thanks to my wife for pushing me, and thanks to my grandson also for showing me the way.
Well, I guess in summary, you are healthy, healthier than an ox. So I'm very happy for you because you've been around a long time in this industry.
I know.
I must say, you look like you're in the peak of health. Sana tuloy-tuloy, you know?
Sana tuloy-tuloy.
We were just talking earlier that you have like 5 projects on hold right now.
Yes.
You were doing Ang Probinsyano.
Correct.
Quarantine, and you have like 3 or 4 other projects
that are
in the wings until this quarantine is lifted.
Correct. I have a new teleserie under ABS also. It's called Ang Lihim Liligaya. And I also am part of the movie Darna. There are 2 digital movies that are on hold. So, yun.
Baka naman parang si Daraka yan pagkatapos ng quarantine, Mike.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go into a little bit of history, because you know, after this whole, you know, catching up with you, I would like our listeners to have a piece of education in terms of acting, no. But let's start first with more trivia about yourself. Alam ko na kwento mo na sa akin to, but for the sake of our viewers or listeners, I would like to ask you, bakit naging Michael De Mesa ang screen name mo? Your father is D.A. De Mesa.
Right.
Kwento mo sa akin yung history kung bakit hindi Michael Mesa? Bakit meron de? Bakit may Michael De Mesa?
Right. Okay. When I started kasi, long time namin, hindi uso yung foreign sounding family names. So Eigenman was, which is my real name, Michael Eigenman, which was a name that was very, very hard. That's very, very hard to pronounce. So we were thinking of a screen name. And then si Ike Lozada thought of the screen name Michael De Mesa, since De Mesa is the middle name of my dad. So my dad kasi is Eduardo De Mesa Eigenman.
Okay.
So my lola on my dad's side is a De Mesa. When my dad entered showbiz, he used Eddie Mesa kasi he dropped the D kasi masyado daw redundant yung Eddie De Mesa. So he dropped the D.
Nice.
Ako naman, when I decided to use it, binalik ko yung D kasi I did like the Michael Mesa. So Michael De Mesa sounded a lot better. Parang Robert De Niro, di ba? Michael De Mesa. Robert De Niro.
Will be our Robert De Niro.
Yeah, so that's how it started.
90s. It's quirky. I know. Your siblings carry naman Hill.
Yes. Yes. They carried Hill.
Hill and then Sherry Hill. Tapos yes. Michael De Mesa. So.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't think Michael Hill sounded.
Maybe at the time.
Yeah, parang hindi bagay eh. So Michael De Mesa was discovered in Union. So we went with that. I went with that, Michael De Mesa.
Michael De Mesa, the actor, how young were you when you started?
I was 13.
13?
Yes. I was discovered when I was 13. Actually, when I was a little boy, there were already offers for me to do movies. But my dad was very strict when it came to that. He wanted us to finish our studies first. Mm-hmm. So when I was 13, I was first year high school. The opportunity was there. So sabi ko, sige ga, subukan ko. I wasn't really that keen on you know, getting into showbiz. Parang it was more of a trial and error. Sige ga, sige, subukan nga natin yan.
Oh, yun, that's what I wanted to ask, okay?
Yeah.
Every Eigenman I know in your family, save for maybe one or two, are in show business.
Yes.
I can't think of an Eigenman who's not an actor.
Yes.
Right now. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So it's interesting na sinabi mo na when you were starting, it was sort of a trial and error thing. Hindi ka sigurado.
Yeah.
Because what I wanted to ask was it already in your genes? Alam mo na ba na sa pagkabata pa lang, magiging artista ako? Because lahat kayo, most of you, when you say Eigenman, it's show business, it's acting, you know?
Yeah, actually, hindi. Hindi ko talaga naisip na mag-artista ako. In fact, I wanted to be a lawyer when I was growing up. I thought I was going to be a lawyer. And then yun ga, when that opportunity came, sabi ko, sige, subukan natin. And I liked it. I liked it. I liked the process. I liked getting out of school. Actually, living in or being part of a movie set, I've experienced it. Kasi yung reality namin eh. Like me, my brother, and my sister, that's where we grew up in. We grew up in the world of showbiz. So that was our reality. So siguro, it was inevitable na doon din kami babagsak. But yun ga, ako, I thought na maybe I would do something else. But then again, when I started working and when I started doing films, mm-hmm. nagustuhan ko. But it was something I wasn't really serious about. I
mean, your first job was a movie, agad.
Movie agad. I was introduced. It was a movie called Cofradia under Sampaguita Pictures.
Sino yung bida ron, Mike?
Ang bida doon was Gina Lahar. Oh. And then ang leading man niya was Jojit Paredes. So, ano kami doon eh, lima kaming in-introduce mga new faces. So, I was part of that five. And then, after that, I did Sangre Montilla. I did Baga Uhaw de Bulaklak, wherein I got my first nomination in a film festival. I was 15 years old. Pero, hindi pa rin ako seryoso. I mean,
was that in the 70s, Mike? Early?
Yes. 1973 when I started. Uhaw de Bulaklak was 1974, 75, mga ganyan.
Okay. You were sort of a child actor. I mean, well, you were...
Teenager. Yeah, which was a pretty awkward stage. I was limited in terms of roles because I was too old to be a child actor and too young to be a leading man. So the roles would be kapatid ni ganito, kaibigan ni ganyan, you know. But that was all I was getting. And then, yun, like I was saying, hindi nga ako seryoso. For me, it was all, you know, playtime. Game, it was a game.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1981... I got this offer. The movie was called Tagasa Panahon, wherein they offered me to play the villain. Kasi nag-start din ako during that time, Teeny Bopper. It was more TV. Alam mo na, Love Team, Kanta-Kanta, sa television. I was very visible in a show called Ike's Happening, show ni Ike Lozada. So, right.
And it was also, you know, he had this portly image.
Yeah, and he was a discoverer, you know? So he would discover a lot of talents, and then he had this this television show nga called Ike's Happening.
Kung may Kuya Germs noon, may Kuya Ike din. Yeah.
Correct.
Oh.
Correct. So doon ako napasabak palagi, singing on TV, guesting on radio shows, mga live skits on radio, kanta sayaw sa TV, parang that's entertainment nung 80s, di ba? Ito na ba nung 70s, ganyan. And then, noong 1981, I did this movie wherein I played the villain. The very, very first time that I was offered that kind of role, Kontrabida. In fact, the director of said film did not want me. Kasi nga, ang background ko, kanta-kanta, diba? Malamya daw ako. But the producer insisted. Then, subukan natin yan, bigyan natin ng break yan.
How did you feel at the time? Because it was the producer who wanted you to play the villain role.
Yeah, I just found out later on, the director pala didn't want me.
Well, how did you feel at the time? Were you excited? Were you apprehensive? Wow, from being this parang teeny bopper or, you know, matinee idol type of image, biglang sasabak ako into a villain role.
Well, actually, there were no apprehensions. Kasi nga, parang, like I said, I wasn't really that serious. So, kumbaga, in my mind, anything that would come my way, sige nga, subukan nga natin yan. Parang gano'n, di ba? I really had no...
You were just open to anything at that point.
I was just open for anything. And I really had no inkling or no idea of what an actor was or how an actor should be. Wala talaga. Ang sa akin lang, ito yung role mo, sige, gagampanan ko yan. Ganun lang yung mentality ko about it. And I was villain for Christopher De Leon, who was already known as a fantastic actor at that time. And also part of that movie was Bembo Rocco, both award-winning actors, both great actors.
Bigat.
Oh. Sila dalawa yung bida, and I was, you know, teamed up with them. Ako yung kontrabida nila. Not naman lifting my own bench, pero after the movie was shown, I got rave reviews. I got nominated. That became the start of my climb as a serious actor. That movie, Taga sa Panahon, and then I would
explore more serious roles, more challenging roles.
Yes. And I was given a variety of roles, mostly kontrabida. But one thing also that was good, I was also offered different kind of roles, which I grabbed all the time. Sige. Marami nang pumapasok. Kumbaga, nagkaroon na ng, uy, si Michael Devesa, parang nag-shine sa movie na yan, o subukan nga natin dito. And then, okay pala itong si Michael Devesa. Sige nga, subukan nga natin dito. So that's how it all started. But then again, in my mind, I just thought that was all it was, you know, acting. Kumbaga, I was just relying on my instincts as an actor. I was just an instinctive actor, and I had no idea that the actor had a responsibility pala. I would get nominated din naman with the movies I continued doing, and I would win. And it was only when I started doing theater, when I really, really, really realized na para bang, okay, eto pala yun. Eto pala yung pagiging artista. Hindi ka pwedeng mag-rely sa instinct mo palagi, because what happens is that you're portraying yourself all the time. It's how Michael would react to things. It was how Michael felt to certain situations. And that's what I've been doing all the time.
It was you.
Yeah, it was me.
You.
And only then, when I started doing theater.
Different scenario, but it was really you reacting to things.
Exactly.
Michael.
Exactly. Under Leo Martinez, who never really spoon-fed me. He made me discover stuff on my own, which I did naman. That's when I realized, okay, Ito pala yun. I mean, when I'm in front of the camera, or when I'm up there on that stage, I'm not portraying myself. I'm portraying a different person. And that's what got me really, really, really interested. And that's when I said, okay, this is what I really want to become. I want to be an actor. I don't want to be a star. I want to be an actor.
Right. Hold that thought, Mike.
Yep.
That's a very interesting segment of our conversation because now you're talking theater. So, of which I would like to believe I am also partly, in that world, especially. Pero mamaya na, mamaya ako na gagawin yan. Yung aking Michael De Mesa experience in the world of musical theater. Before you move on, I would like to share with much excitement my stage experience that involves you. Now, for those people who don't know, I dabbled in acting. I've done my fair share of time on stage, on the live stage, mostly musicals. And I've also dabbled in film and TV. But one of my most memorable experiences would be in 2002 when I played the lead role in a musical called Tick, Tick, Boom. And of course, unforgettable sa akin yon. Unforgettable sa akin yon dahil it featured only three people. It was a three-man musical that featured yours truly, Bituin Escalante, and the Michael De Mesa. So you can imagine the fear that I had when Bobby Garcia, the producer and director, hired me for the role. And I was pretty much a greenhorn because the only thing I've ever done before that was just one musical called Jesus Christ Superstar, no? And then tinawagan ako ni Bobby na sinabi niya na, okay, meron akong musical para sa'yo and it features ganito, si ganito, si ganyan. I was like, are you serious? You want... No. And then fast forward, I meet you for the first time, rehearsed with you, and that's when I realized, wow, this is a very good job to be in because I get to do what I've always wanted to do, and I'm learning just by watching you guys work, especially you, Mike, you know, and you were this humble person. Your experience was so vast already before I met you and we did this play. But you were very giving. You were very supportive. And I cannot forget that day na naglakas loob ako na magtanong sa'yo. Hindi pa tayo close noon. A few days into rehearsals, not even a week or so, huminga ako ng malalim and I went to you on break. I will not forget this. There are many things I forget in my history because I'm getting old. But there are some things I will never forget. And this is one of the things. No? I went up to you during break and I asked you. I said, Mike, meron ka bang tip on acting? Ang tanong ko pa is more like, meron ka bang librong may re-recommend sa akin? And you just looked at me casually and you just said, you know, Jet, when you're gonna act, just be. It's like, just be. Yeah, and you expounded a little bit more. You said, just be the guy you're supposed to be. And yeah. Alam mo yung alam mo na yon, but it needed validation from someone like you to make me really understand and have confidence in just being. Of course, there are many great books on acting, I'm sure. I've, you know, si Chari Arespacochaga even gave me a book or two on methods of acting, but those few words that you said meant the world to me because it's like, oo nga, no? Zen-like. Alam mo yun, napakasimple. Ganun lang.
Yeah.
Once you step on stage, gaya ang sinabi mo earlier, you're a different person. You're not you playing.
Yeah.
You leave yourself at the wings when you step on stage. You're already a different person. And I'll never forget that, Mike.
Yeah. Kasi actors think that when they do a project, whether it be film or TV or theater, the mentality kagad is, I have to do this. I have to do that rather than I have to become this. I have to be this, which is supposed to be the first and foremost objective so that you can be able to do what is needed of you, but you have to be first. You know?
It's funny because, you know, it's easier said than done. Huh?
Yeah.
I've done many musicals already since that time. Yeah. And you think that when you do one thing, you can readily jump to the next with the same expectations of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier said than done. There are days, especially when you're doing theater, that you're doing one show, the same thing every night. There are just days when the real you is pulling yourself back.
Right.
So I remember one important anecdote that I can never forget coming from you was when you told me in response to what I said, something like, Mike, meron ka na bang nagawa sa teatro na madali? Na mas madali sa ginagawa natin ngayon? I don't know what musical we were doing at the time. And you said something like, wala namang madali dapat, Jet, eh. Because if it's easy, it's not worth doing.
Yeah.
I remember that. And
Yeah, you can never find...
That's the Michael De Mesa book that I hold. One page. Two lessons, and that's it.
Yeah, kasi it's fun, eh, di ba? What we do is a lot of fun. That's, I don't know, like... That's where the craft comes in na kasi, diba? When you're able to reconcile, or when you're able to marry your instinct and your technique, you can't rely on just one. You need to have both. You need to trust your instincts, but at the same time, you also need to have technique, especially in doing theater. Because like you said, there are days where you get pulled in by who you really are. But that's where the technique comes in. And it allows you to continue to discover new things in every performance. That's why I enjoy doing theater, because we have the luxury of time. We have the rehearsal process. We have that space where we can fail. What I'm trying to say is that is where we're given our playground to be able to create and to be able to discover. And that is also our playground wherein we will fail. Because if certain things doesn't work, then we try other things, diba? Different approaches, different attacks, until tayo as actors, we are a bit satisfied. But then again, we are never satisfied. And if our director is also satisfied with what we're giving. Pero when it also comes to performance nights, it doesn't mean na, hey, I have everything down pat. You know, okay na ako dito. Wala na akong babaguhin dito. I'm gonna do this whole run with this one attack, which I feel is okay na. But different days, different feelings, di ba? Different days, different moods. So what do? Di ba? You use that. You use that. When you're stepping out on that stage, like if you're feeling a certain way, maybe this is not what's needed for me, but try to use it, diba? Experiment on it, and your performance changes. It gives it a different color right away. Na parang wow, diba? Yun yung tinatawag na the magic moments. That's why I really love doing theater. We have the luxury of time. I'm not saying that I don't like doing films. No, I also love doing films, but it's a totally, totally different process for actors like us. Because the
film is different. So
it's a director's medium. Because the film is a director's medium, pero the theater is an actor's medium. So it's really you out there.
Okay, granting that, you know, there's not a lot of money to be made in of course, the bread and butter film and TV, you know. both mediums or both media rather require this little thing called memorizing, diba? Especially sa theater.
Yes.
You have to memorize a ton of lines, a ton of songs. But ganun din naman sa TV and film. Before the cameras roll, you should already know what you're going to say.
Yes.
So what tip can you give to any actor who's interested to learn from you? What tip can you give? Ano yung... Kasi it's memorizing for me. Is something that I would like to get rid of it. So I can go on to the more important stuff.
Right.
Of portraying the role.
Right, right.
But you have lines to learn. You have lines to memorize.
Right.
How do you do it, Mike? Given your technique and the instinctiveness that you utilize, paano mo ginagawa yan? Paano mo hindi masyadong pinoproblema yung pagme-memorize para gawa mo na yung kailangan mong gawin?
Right. Ako, I do memorize my lines. I do. But I don't let the lines get in the way. Kumbaga, di ba? I don't let what I need to memorize get in the way of my discovering. Kasi once you've got your character down pat, once you've built that character and created that role, and it is already clear to you what your objectives are, what your obligations are, everything will just flow, whether it's the written line or not. You know, that's why I love improvisation.
Let's simplify that now for my sake and for for our listeners who really want to, you know, nail this down.
Yeah. There are directors, and there are also actors who rely on the written text, which I respect. I really do respect. I'm not saying that you should veer away from that. No. Especially in theater, di ba? You have to...
Copyrighted yung mga yan, eh. You really have
to... You have to be respectful. But there are times also na admittedly, as human beings, we tend to forget. Di ba? We tend to forget. Or there are moments na nablablanko ka. But what I'm trying to say is that if you know who you are at that particular moment, those lines will not matter. You'll be able to discover new things, and those lines will come back. They will come back anyway, as long as you know your objectives and your obligations. That's where improvisation comes in. Diba? But of course, you have to keep that to minimal, unless the director gives you open range, or say, improvise as much as you want. Mm. But not all directors are like that.
Especially going back to theater, di ba? Especially if you're doing a foreign-based or a Broadway-based musical or play.
Correct. It's very important, lalo na pag musical, because certain words are cues. Certain sentences are cues. Musical cue ng pasok na ganito. So it's very critical.
It's not allowed, you know. Yung kasulatan, it's correct. Like a table, di ba? Kung yung sinulat dyan, yung nasasabihin mo, you don't miss out a word. But that's a concern for people, human as we are, that we have to nail it.
Right. Correct. Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do naman. That's why, you know, all mediums are different. They ask me, what do you prefer doing? TV, film, theater? Anong mas masarap? Anong mas madali? Walang madali. Lahat yan masarap. But yun nga, the difference lang sa theater, ako, I do it for my soul. That's where I feel I really grow as an actor. But going back to what you were saying, everything really has to be, you know, down pat. You have to nail it, your lines. Kasi your lines are critical to what happens next. Unlike film, di ba? Film, you can ad-lib. I'm not saying you can't ad-lib in theater. You can, but you still have to go back to the cues. Diba? You don't have that much of freedom to improvise all the way.
Correct.
Unlike film and television.
Okay. Going to film and television now. Do you think? I guess this also goes for theater as well, for live theater. What do you think are the mannerisms that actors tend to develop? Na parang crutch na. Alam mo yun? When it comes to, syempre, especially with TV or film, na everything is happening at a very fast pace na kailangan i-air na bukas. Of course, everyone's working, 10 hours a day, minsan lagpas pa. So, there are these forces that tend to bring you down into what do you call that? Certain habits.
Yeah, which is sad, no?
I'm saying that because, I've experienced doing TV and film, and I'm guilty of that as well. Parang, okay, I'm doing this because it's all convenient to me.
We all are. TV kasi don't have the luxury of time. Everything is pak, 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 pak. And we do teleseries, melodramas. So there are givens and there are expectations, especially if you do heavy drama anthologies wherein you need to make your audience cry in particularly every scene you do. So that's where what we call yung acting talaga. Diba yung acting.
Okay.
Which of course that's what we try to avoid, yung acting. We live by this motto na no acting please, diba? As much as possible. Ayaw natin yung umaarte tayo, but there are instances wherein you just have to, especially when you're doing teleseries. So those are what's expected of you. You have to act a certain way. You have to react a certain way. You have to deliver your lines a certain way. So I don't know if you've noticed, but if you watch a teleserie and you watch all of it, our local actors have a tendency to act the same. Everybody acts the same way. Kasi nga, yun yung given, yun yung expectation. Mahirap talaga. It's almost impossible to not to act in television.
So you feel that you were also you also fell prey to that at some point.
We all do. We all do. You have no time. You have no time. So you just have to be safe, kumbaga. You have to just pick your weapons from the boxes that are hidden. O ito yung eksena, o itong box na to. O ito yung the next scene, o itong box na to ang gagamitin ko. Kumbaga, nakadikahon na lahat.
You've done so much work since you were 13, like you said, Mike.
Yeah.
Decades. Mm-hmm. So, nagawa mo na siguro lahat ng role na pwedeng gawin ng isang artista.
Yeah.
Meron pa bang isang role or two that you think you would love to do before you call it a day?
Hindi ko masabi. I've never really sat down and think ano kaya pwede ko pang gawin. Hindi kasi basta ako, so whatever is given to me. Like for example, playing a gay character or even playing a villain, diba? I've done those characters so many times. I've done those roles so many times. So the challenge there is, okay, how will I do it this time? Diba? So I can't just say na, oh, nagawa ko na yan, ganito na lang yung gagawin ko. Hindi. Because when you start thinking that way, that's when you fail. That's when you start failing as an actor. And ako, I've never really thought of it that way. So parang, kung ano man yung dumating sa akin, whether it's something I've done before, I do my best and I really grit my teeth into it on how I'm going to do it this time. So there's always a different color. Kasi even if you look at villains, very, very colorful, very, very colorful characters. Ang bida naman hindi magsha-shine kung walang kontrabida, di ba? So yeah. It's also an important part of the
okay,
of the
Batman will always need the Joker para ganun.
Exactly, in order for Batman to win, Joker has to be there. Yes, ganun. So it's always how will I play Joker this time, di ba? Parang ganun lang yun.
Yeah. So Mike, again earlier we've chatted up this situation that we're in right now, no? We're in quarantine, we're in lockdown, social distancing and all that. And siyempre, every human being right now would like this to be over and done with. Gusto na nating matapos to. So we can go on with our lives. Yep. The way that we've been living our lives. But we know for a fact that as we speak, things are changing. You know, in the way that we deal with each other, the way we connect. Do you have any fearless predictions on how, let's say, your work or the industry itself, you know, entertainment in general, music or acting, you have any forecast or ideas on how it's going to change?
Yeah, it's definitely going to change, but I really don't know, Jet, because especially in our industry, diba, like social distancing is almost impossible. Physical touch, tayo as a nation or as a people, diba, when we greet each other, we like to beso-beso, we like to hug. But that's general. Eh. Pero when you're acting and you're in a movie set or in a film set or on stage, you're working with a lot of people. Eh. So dun palang social distancing is impossible. Ne.
Yeah, both quarters.
Exactly, in certain scenes that you need to do, you need to be in a scene with, let's say, 100 people and all that. So, to tell you honestly, hindi ko talaga alam what's going to happen. It's kind of scary. Well, when you think about it, because I don't know, but it's definitely it's really really gonna change everything talaga. Hirap.
I don't have any answers to this, really, except that I'm hopeful. I'm just hoping that for some miracle from the heavens,
yes,
go back to normal. But I'm also pragmatic in the sense that, you know, this is an invisible enemy that's relentless.
Exactly. You can't just say na ano eh. As long as you continue to wash your hands and, you know, blah blah blah, wear a mask, ganito, blah blah blah, you'll be okay. It's not just that. Of course, that is very important, but it's not just that. Yun nga eh, how or what will we do when the time comes wherein we need to all go back to what we've been doing, and yet knowing that the virus hasn't been stopped. I mean, probably slowed down, but hasn't been stopped. So there is still that possibility if the lockdown, you know, gets lifted and the quarantine is over, there is still that possibility that, you know, we might still get sick because the virus is still there hovering around.
Yeah. Well, we're no experts, but we know that this thing is relentless. This thing is... It's not going to stop until, you know, wala na siyang makapitan. So it's really just prayers at this point, I guess.
Exactly. The only one in control is God.
We've known each other for a long time, since 2002. And there have been phases of your life that, you know, I was fortunate enough to be privy to or na witness ko. And there was a time when you wanted to migrate to the United States. And you did.
Yes. Yes.
To pursue another career.
Yes.
So to speak. And then fast forward to today. Eto, you have like 5,000 projects waiting for you. Did you ever expect it? Or were you at a certain point in your life, you were already set, you know, mentally and emotionally, asa America na ako, ito nang buhay ko ngayon. I'm done with show business. Did you ever expect it to turn around like this?
Yeah, actually, the reason why I decided to leave for America was born out of frustration. I was, parang, I felt I was getting jaded, which scared me because I did not want to feel jaded. Of course, you know, you get frustrated with how the system is run, the whole system, the whole industry, how it is. You try hard to, you know, in your own little way to try to change it, but the system will not allow you to change it. So that made me decide para bang, okay, ayoko na, di ba? Ayoko na. I've given my life to this industry and para bang ang hirap maguhin. So ayoko na. So 2.5 years in America, I did I lived the life of a regular person. I had the regular job. I was a marketer for this ambulance provider, and I taught first aid in CPR. So I was in the medical field. This I enjoyed for the first year. Parang wow, ang sarap pala. Kaya ko tong gawin, di ba? There's life pala outside show business. But after the first year, I started realizing who I really was. And I started realizing what I really wanted to do. And my life in America was very routinary. You do the same thing every day of your life. And then sabi ko, okay, this is not for me. This is not for me at all. But I continued doing what I needed to do. And then I had this offer to do one project that I couldn't say no to. I mean, there were projects that came before this. And I was like, yeah, okay lang, wala natin yan. Okay ako dito. I'm fine here in America. But there was an offer that I could not refuse because this offer was, the project was very, very close to my heart. They were going to do a remake of Valiente, which was one of the longest running television shows in the past.
I was watching that.
Yeah, wherein I played the title role.
PN9.
So they were going to do a remake of that. Of course, they weren't going to offer the same role. No, I knew that naman. But I mean, just because it was going to be a remake, I knew deep in my heart, I just needed to be part of that. So I said yes to that, but only to have in mind that I was only going to come home to the Philippines to do that project and then go back to the States and continue my life in the States. Okay. So which was what happened. So I came here, did that project, and I went back to America. When I went back to America, I got an offer from another, well, when I got to America, kasi 2008, recession yun eh. I was just really, really lucky, really blessed to be able to have found a job.
I was going to ask, how did it affect you? So okay naman pala.
You know, I was just one of the lucky ones because since it was recession, a lot of people were getting laid off. You know, unemployment was quite high. And kumbaga, sama ng timing na pagpunta ko ng America. But I was lucky enough to be able to land a job. So when I went back, it was still unstable, very, very unstable. And I got an offer from a network to come back. But hindi kami nagkasundo. So sabi ko, no. And at the same time, in our company, they were laying off a lot of employees na, so which scared me because I did not have the job security that I needed at that time. And then another network called and offered me to come back. So the deal was para bang, okay, at this point in time, I don't know what my future will be. And I had my wife with me already, you know, in America. And we didn't know now, okay, what's going to happen now? What if I get fired from this job? Or what if I get laid off? You know, it's going to be hard for me to look for another job and all that. So, tingnan na natin to. Sabi ko dun sa manager ko, sige, let's try, ano, if they can guarantee at least a year. Diba? So for that moment, meron akong job security at least for a year. So she made the deal. She came back to me. Sabi, ayaw nila ng 1 year. So medyo na-down ako. So parang sabi ko, anong gusto nila? Gusto nila 2 years. So, doon pa lang, it was parang a sign na parang, oh, 2 years. So, talagang secured na ako for the next 2 years. So I came back. I came back and then I do a project here and then go back to America, wait for the next project, come back here to the Philippines, finish a project and then go back to America. So that's how it was. But what the takeaway I got from living in America for 2.5 years straight and flying in and out for the next 2.5 years, it made me realize who I really was and what I really wanted to do. And it gave me a whole new outlook on how I saw the industry. When I came back, I was welcomed with open arms. Since I came back in 2015, I've never stopped working. I've been pretty busy for the past 5 years. And I already understood what my role was in this industry. I'm an actor, and that's all I want to do is act. So that's the story behind all that. And then my wife came back. So we're here. We're back home.
For me, it's not a sort of a miracle. I mean, there you were, already set on living a life abroad, because you thought that the opportunities here were not, as good as you would expect. And then, you know, bigla na lang, eto, you're back, and it's since 2016, you said, or
2015. Yep.
You were never out of work when you got back. One yep. project after another.
Yep, yep.
So para it was a second wind of sorts for you.
Yes. Yes, yes. And the way I was welcomed, kumbaga, I felt the industry embraced me back and you know, made me feel that I was important and that I'm still needed, kumbaga, which I'm very, very grateful.
So how do you stay in the game, you know, this long? Secret to longevity, if ever there is one. Could you share with us?
Well, it's... two main ingredients, of course. It's definitely talent and pakikisama. It's how you deal with the people you work with. Kasi right. kahit sobrang galing mo, pero wala ka namang pakikisama, eh hindi ka makakakuha ng trabaho, di ba? Because people don't want to work with you. And I've always said when I give advice to the newbies is that to always keep your feet on the ground. Never believe your own publicity. Humility. Humility is number one. And then talent comes second. But you have to be humble. And you have to be respectful. Because whatever is given to you can be taken away from you just like that. And make the best in whatever is given to you. Make the best. Do the best that you can.
Was there ever a time? I mean, you know, those are words from a wise man. Someone who's been around, who's seen the good and bad, you know, who succeeded and failed. Was there ever a time when you took it for granted? When you were probably younger and you just thought, nah, okay, the world was your oyster and therefore I can do what the hell I want. And, you know.
When I was younger, yes. My life has been an open book, especially when I was doing drugs, when I was very young. I got involved with drugs, and it was a time in my life wherein I was taking everything and everybody for granted. But you know, the Lord has been very, very faithful, and He has never left my side. I mean, the chances that He's given me to improve and to make something worth of my life, I'm always in gratitude, and I'm always thankful. Probably that's why I am where I'm at now, you know, because the lessons that I have learned from my past, I don't like to call them mistakes, they're lessons, have molded me.
Nicely put.
have molded me to the kind of person I am today. It has changed me. It has given me a whole different outlook in life. I've realized that the world doesn't revolve around me, you know, and that sense of entitlement has long disappeared, you know. And everything I do now, I do with gratitude, I do with humility, and I do with a thankful heart.
Wow, well said, Mike. I have absorbed all those words, and yan ang takeaway ko sa'yo, and that's something I'm going to, you know, more words of wisdom from Michael de Mesa. your siblings are also very well respected, as multi-awarded as you are. Again, the late Mark Hill, Ralph, you know, and Sherry Hill, your siblings are also great actors, great actors. Ano ba yan? Nag-share notes ba kayo? Do you always talk about, ginawa ko sa ganyan, kailangan do you guys give tips to each other, or do you guys critique each other for the betterment of your craft?
Pero yes and no. Actually, we don't. But I don't know. Diba? Come to think of it now that you've asked it. Parang yes and no. I think the only time when that happens is when I get to direct them. Pero as actors,
okay, directed them.
Yeah. I've had the privilege of directing my brother and my sister and my mom before, but it was only then when I would really critique. But as individuals, when we're at home or when we get together,
they listen to you as a director. Would they listen to you? Or
oh yeah. I mean, one thing naman, I don't know, kasi our family, sabi ko, ito na siguro yung legacy namin, and the Eigenmans family of actors. And they know who to listen to, you know. Syempre, pag ako yung director, we're very professional. And hindi talaga po mapasok yung, kapatid ko yan. Walang ganun. For today, artista kita. Today, director kita. Parang ganun. Hindi tayo magkapatid. Parang ganun.
And you have kids, you have nieces and nephews who are in the industry.
I know, right? this was something I'm, especially with my kids, I've never encouraged them, nor did I discourage them. I just let them discover it for themselves. And I guess, ito talaga yung gusto nilang gawin, except for my youngest son, who tried to be the business for a while, but he decided, you know, to live in America. Same with my other nephew, who decided to do something else. And I respect whatever decisions and, you know, whatever plans they have for their life. Pero meron din Eigenman na ayaw mag-artista.
meron din naman. paglabas sa mundo, artista na ako. Ito na yun, guys.
Oh, parang gano'n. But you know, sila, my nephews and nieces, they didn't have it easy. I think it was an advantage, which what we had also in the beginning when we were starting, na parang, it was an advantage to be the parents of, you know. But up to a certain point, maybe it helped us, or it helped them get to the door. But getting inside that door was up to them now. Which happened to us also, diba? Probably it helped us for a while. But later on, like we told ourselves, hindi pwede ito, we have to make a name for ourselves.
In the industry, parang ganon. Let them find their own feet.
Exactly. Which we were lucky naman na we were able to achieve. Before, my parents, especially my dad would say, before, when we were starting, mga anak ni Eddie Mesa yan, ganyan. And then eventually it became, Michael, si Mark, si Sherry, si Eddie Mesa, tatay nila, Mark yan. Nagbaliktad.
For my last question, granting things go back to normal, of course we want to claim it, right? Things go back to normal. you still see yourself doing a stage play or a musical, given your already, you know, a hectic schedule?
I would love to do a play, whether it's a musical or a straight play. You know what? Bobby called me, asked about my schedule. This was all before this happened. Pero wala eh. I mean, as much as I wanted to do it, I had to beg off because of all the things that's lined up, you know, for the rest of the year. So I don't know if probably my schedule would allow it, maybe next year or the year after that. Of course, I'll consider it. I mean, the last play I did was Annie, which was 2016.
I saw that. Remember, I watched that show.
Yeah. So that was the last. So it's been 4 years.
You know, Bayon. Lakage Falls.
Nakuha yung Lakage and then Annie.
Wow. And I hope you don't stop doing musicals. If only na makasama kita ulit sa stage.
Kahit straight play. Sa nga ano, straight play natin dati. Tatlo rin tayo.
Art. With Ricky Davao. Okay, I learned so much from you guys there. Those are things you can learn in school where you pay for it to learn something. But you guys, you were there with me. You supported me there. Ang galing ng experience na yon, Mike. You know, I've been in musicals with you prior to that. Mm-hmm. But when I did that straight play with you, which was directed by Bart, yun ang parang sa akin, acting 101.
Yeah, iba, no? Iba straight play. No?
Yung pala yun eh. Pag musical, the music can actually be your crutch as an actor. You know, once you break into song, everything is all right. But with a straight play, there's no music. There's no music to catch you. There's no song and dance number.
Yep. And I don't know if you remember what I was trying to say kanina when we were doing art. There were moments where we were improvising. A lot of moments where we were improvising, especially performance nights.
Yeah.
It was so confusing that there were moments that, which happened to me also. I mean, a lot that was happening to me. I would like jump scenes. Like I would, and then later on realized na parang, hindi yata ito yung dialogue na dito sa eksena to.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But you know, one thing I admire about you, Jet, you've learned to be, in the sense that you've learned to listen and not rely on the lines that were written, because you were able to catch me, diba, in certain scenes, and you would drive it back to where we should be. And that's what happened during that play. I can't forget that one night in particular we're in.
That's Cebu, I think.
I think it was in Cebu. I think it happened in Cebu. Yeah. We're in, you were able to drive back the whole scene to where it was supposed to be.
And I guess that's what you mean by understanding.
Yep.
Understanding the story.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Something I realized in doing a straight play, you can be bogged down by the lines.
Blocking.
Blocking, memory work and all that. But you forget.
Hitting your light, hitting your marker.
And I remember that the only prop we had on that stage was that black slate. Didn't we have chairs? Hindi ko na maalala eh.
We had a couch. We had a couch and a seat, the coffee table, and that blank canvas.
And that was it?
That was it.
It was a play that you can mount on a parking lot.
Exactly. Very, very minimal. Three actors, three pieces of furniture.
That was one of the best experiences, if not the most, one of the most harrowing, but my God, I learned so much from you, Mike.
It's a beautiful play, di ba? And which was tougher because it had to be adapted in Tagalog.
Yes.
We did it in Tagalog.
And the thing was, I never saw the original English version. I never saw that.
Yeah, me too. So what we did was really fresh, something we can call our own.
And that was one heck of an experience that I'll never forget. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you, Jet, for having me. Wait, before I go, I just want to congratulate you on your journey as an actor. Because like you were saying, kanina, your first play was with me. And we've done a lot of musicals together. And I've seen a lot of your work. I can truly say that, Jet, you've grown tremendously as an actor. And wow. I can say, on the things of theater, you're one of the actors that I really enjoy watching all the time. You're up there, man. Ang galing-galing mo, artista.
Well, big thanks to you. Because of those two words that you taught me. Let's go back to those two words.
I can't forget Jekyll and Hyde. Oh my God, what a revelation. Oh my God, what a performance. Super.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. And I wish you all the best. And I wish us all the best. Everyone who's tuned in right now, prayers, guys. Once again, to my special guest on the break / Jets talk show, sort of, Mr. Michael De Mesa. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jet, for having me. It's my pleasure. It's been my pleasure. I had a lot of fun. Guys, don't forget, wear a mask, especially if you have to go out.
Yes, but if you can stay home,
better.
Stay home. All right, let's get that drink soon enough, buddy.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
Cheers, bro. See ya.
Cheers. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.